But I think this Lions team, we knew this going in. We said it in the offseason. They're going to be good. They have the one L. I think Dan Campbell put that on himself. Tell me about the Lions, man, because I like what I saw last night, and I like how well they played on all sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they needed a bounce-back game from the quarterback. Like, they probably would admit themselves they got a little too pass-happy the first few weeks of the season, got a little disoriented. It cost them in that game against the Bucs. I thought they'd go out, you know, go to Arizona and road grade them and, you know, establish Montgomery and Gibbs, and they did. And they did the same thing in this game as well. And they certainly have cut down on the volume in the pass game, but the efficiencies are off the charts. And it's a dominant offensive line. Both running backs are in peak form. Laporta hasn't seen the target share of last year, perhaps, but you know what he's capable of doing. Everything was humming last night, and it surprised me a little bit. These teams now have played four straight games that have gone like well over 70 points. Like these games get bonkers when they play. I thought Mike McDonald had the secret sauce to slow down that offense. At least he did last year with Baltimore. That was not the case. And the Lions kind of scored at will. I'm a little concerned about the Lions defense. You know, that this is Geno kind of had his way with them as well. And there were a couple of weird calls in this game, but like it was Kenneth Walker's first game back in a while. He was getting off. Like, I was surprised they could run on Detroit the way they did, to be honest with you. So I think there's positives to take from both teams, you know, like Seattle's not phony. Seattle has some individual brilliance.
I agree.
And they played that game basically without their D line, which was going to be a problem. And they probably weren't going to win. But I think on the offensive side of the ball, they can. There's some things they can build on, and defensively, they like again, they didn't have a full deck, and maybe they needed to be knocked down a peg defensively. You know, it's not going to be a magic carpet ride just because we've got this new head coach who's a boy genius. Doesn't mean everything's going to go our way every week on that side of the ball. So, I think they're both playoff teams, Carl, and I know that's not a big, you know, revelation about Detroit. But I think Seattle can grow from this. But I mean, Jared Goff had struggled against Seattle his entire career. Jared Goff had struggled mightily against Mike McDonald the one time he'd faced him. And Jared Goff didn't struggle a single minute of that football game last night. It was a masterful performance.
18 of 18, 292, two touchdowns. He was sacked three times, to your point about the defense for Seattle. But a 155 quarterback rating. Here's where I'm at with Goff. When the Rams and Sean McVay decided to trade him, right, and everybody went, oh, he's not any good.
Yeah.
Brad Holmes, the general manager for the Lions, obviously was there with the Rams when they drafted him and knew what he was getting. And I just think we got to give credit, man, to the Lions. It's the first thing they did. They went and got a guy that they felt like, hey, he can lead us and get us to a Super Bowl, which is obviously the key. Nobody says the guy's going to come in and win one. So where's Goff, man, in this pecking order? You know, we always talk about, Jason, hey, all these guys, and we want to put them in front of Jared Goff. Jared Goff's really damn good.
I don't know. I mean, Jared Goff is – I mean, look, if you want to get into quarterback tiers, he's not – you can't put him up there physically with Lamar Jackson, right, and Josh Allen and, you know, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's not – but he's absolutely in that next tier. I mean – you can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. I mean, especially the way that team's built. And I don't think you can say that about more than probably maybe 10 quarterbacks in this league. You know, maybe it's more like eight. But he's right there in that next tier. There's going to be a lot of people who regret or already do regret the quarterback extensions that they did in the last 6 months. This is not one of them. Especially if the offensive coordinator really doesn't want to be a head coach. And I'm not sure that he does. Like, this thing is set up to continue to be a thing for a while. Like, a year from now, do they want to pay Gibbs and Montgomery? Maybe not. But I mean, they'll find another, you know, they'll find another running back. You know, once they extend Gibbs or whatever, but like, you look at how they're built, I do think it's sustainable. He loves playing in the dome. You know, like I think everything there is set up for him to continue being a top 10 quarterback in this league.
You talked about two elite guys. Let's shift gears and talk about the game on Sunday night. I thought it would be a lot more competitive than it was. Bills only scored 10 points. Give the Ravens and their defense credit. But I got to give credit to Todd Monken. Todd Monken, where the hell has this been? This is why you signed Derrick Henry. Give him the ball. Guys, Derrick Henry was a yard short of 200 yards on Sunday night. 24 carries, 199, and a touchdown. Jason, this has got to be the formula, right? I mean, take that pressure off of Lamar. You don't have to ask Lamar to be Superman every week.
No. I mean, they have an identity now. They figured it out. Derrick Henry looked remember, that Derrick Henry was under center more than any running back in the league at a time when everybody's going pistol and shotgun more than ever historically. And the Ravens were the most pistol shotgun heavy team in the NFL, while Tennessee did it the least. And the first 2 weeks, you saw him tippy-toed. You saw him not sure. You saw an offensive line that wasn't very good. Nothing looked streamlined. Nothing looked airtight. And remember, Henry didn't play at all in the preseason. Lamar didn't play at all in the preseason. And the starting five offensive line was never together in the preseason. So there was going to be – and you usually think the running game is plug and play, but it wasn't. And it really took, you know, a couple of weeks for them to sort it out. And then they came out committed to run on a Dallas team that didn't have any D tackles, and they destroyed them. And then, you know, Buffalo knocked the heaviest in the ass team in the NFL, not a team loaded with anchors. They decided they were going to run on them, and Buffalo didn't really sell out to put their biggest personnel on the field, and it just became an utter mismatch. And, yeah, do I think that's going to hold? Like, Carl, their running backs had over 300 yards from scrimmage. I mean, they were 9 of 9 throwing to the running backs. You know, like, Derrick Henry ran for 199. Justice Hill had 100 yards of scrimmage. Like, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. When they had their fullback, Pat Ricard, on the field, they ran 20 times for over 200 yards, 8.7 per carry. Carl, 6.3 yards before contact. Now, that's a little skewed because of the 87-yarder to start the game.
Sure.
But, I mean, they ran the ball a lot. And the fullback was on the field a lot. And they averaged 9 yards a carry and 6 yards before contact with the fullback on the field. Like, yeah. And they started throwing out of 21 and 22 personnel a little bit more. And they hit the shot to Likely, and they hit a shot to Flowers, and they had a shot to Andrews that he somehow dropped. Like, that's the next step. Like, now you're going to see them under center with the 300-pound fullback and the 250-pound running back, and they're going to go play action, and you have to bite because this is now the leading running back in the NFL, and it's going to freeze everybody. And they've got two move tight ends and Likely and Andrews who can beat you 20, 30, 40 yards downfield. And you're going to start seeing them hitting chunk plays out of under center play action. And when that hits the way I think it's going to hit, like, do I want to be a Ravens wide receiver? Not really. Like, they're going to live out of personnel, but, you know. And on the other side of the ball, that's the first time that Zach Gordon looked like Mike McDonald. I mean, on the sidelines, he looked confident. He was getting more exotic with some of the looks he threw at Josh Allen. When he did blitz D-backs, they had more sack yards than passing yards allowed, like minus 30 sack yards when he blitzed the defensive back to 17 net passing yards. You know, he was showing six, dropping three, rushing three. Like, it looked like Mike McDonald's defense for the first time. So, like, yeah, I think things are coming together. They play the Bengals this week. Lamar has historically put on a show. When he goes to Cincinnati, very close to Louisville, where he played college ball, obviously. They've traditionally been able to run on the Bengals, you know, and I don't know if Sheldon Rankins and Hill and these guys are going to be back this week. I'm not sure that they will be. And I think the approach will be the same for the Ravens. You know, like, I Lamar will get his 50-plus on the ground. Derrick Henry will get his 150-plus on the ground. And Justice Hill, he might get his 50-plus on the ground and another 50-something. In the screen game. To your point about Todd Monken, he's gotten Lamar Jackson to understand the importance of checkdowns and horizontal passes to the running backs.
Easy.
And take the layups, man. And now that it started with Justice Hill, now you saw Derrick Henry catch three balls in this game as well. Like, it's only a matter of time before they get a pony package going, Carl. And he's in the gun flanked by Hill and Derrick Henry. Like, they've got more stuff they can tap into.
Ravens look good, guys. And you know, everybody this week, obviously, after four, are talking about who the best teams are. They're certainly one of them. But I think we have to talk about and give kudos to the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
They're real. If you have not watched them and you're just saying, all right, how are they 4-0? It's beyond Sam Darnold, right? It is this defense with Brian Flores and what they're doing, but it is also Darnold making plays. This was a great game. It turned out to be a really entertaining game. Vikings over the Packers, 31-29. Jordan Love comes back. Looks like Jordan Love. Four touchdowns in the game. But how good are the Vikings? Should we be completely buying in and saying, all right, look, this is a playoff team. This is a team that's going to be there.
Yeah, I absolutely think they're legit. I talked to a couple general managers Sunday night. They both said, look, if you're second guessing them, or you're fading them, or you're not believing, and that's not based on the film. Like, that's not based on what they're doing. That's based on your preconceived notions. It is a quality football team. And yeah, that got to be a really interesting game, but it was also kind of over in the third quarter. Like, it was such a, like, Green Bay doesn't get beat.
Yeah, he threw three picks, right? And that was part of it. I mean,
they turned Love over. They built up a huge lead. They established Aaron Jones. They had big shots to you know, multiple receivers downfield when they needed it. And then, you know, Green Bay made a scramble and made a game of it. But, like, when they did that, Sam Darnold, boom, you know, put a stake through their heart. I think that what Brian Flores is doing defensively now, like, if he wants to go back to blitzing 60% of the time, he can do that and he can slay you that way. And Aaron Rodgers, buckle up, Buttercup, because I think that's coming for you in London, brother. After what Denver did to you, like, yeah, your days of only being blitzed 18% of the time are over. He's going to come for you. And if he wants to play more coverage, he can beat you that way. The offensive line is sturdy. Aaron Jones has been a scrimmage monster since late last season when he got healthy again in Green Bay. There's a lot to like about them. Like, Kevin O'Connell is a quarterback whisperer, and he's got a really willing and able pupil in Sam Darnold. Like, yeah, Carl, I believe, and I believe they're going to put a hurting on the Jets in London and come back to the States still undefeated. They'll hit some adversity. It's not the deepest roster in the world. Injuries obviously have a way of swinging this thing in a different direction, but it's one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL for me. I mean, you look at what Flores has done the last 2 years with different personnel and changing his spots and doing it different ways. And then you look at, like, last year, and they're competitive in games with Josh Dobbs. You know what I mean? And then that runs out. So let's try it with Mullins for a couple of weeks. And then that doesn't work. Let's go to the next guy. I'm not afraid to keep gaming it up and scheming it up, right? And trying to find a way, like the Belichick way, right, of whatever it takes to win, however we have to shape shift and change our spots this week to win that game. Like, that's in that coaching staff. Like they're that legitimate. And there's obviously a buy-in from the players. So, yeah, I'm bullish on the Vikings. Absolutely.
I never thought I'd say this, but Sam Darnold is not only in the MVP hunt 4 weeks into the season, he may be the best quarterback in the league. Guys, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And this gets back to understanding what you want me to do. And Jason just laid it out. Like, the scheme matters. Coaching matters. How are we doing all of this, and how is a guy that everybody gave up on playing at such a high level? So you mix all of that stuff in, and then Darnold naturally is gifted. He has always been a gifted guy physically to play the position, but he just hadn't been able to put it together. Right now, tell me who's playing better. I don't think there's anybody in the league right now playing better. Allen was there before he went to the Ravens this week. Lamar obviously is always in the conversation. But if you were to say right now, who's playing better? There's nobody playing better than Sam Darnold at that position.
maybe Jaden Daniels will get to.
Like, yes, you're exactly right. It's the only other guy. Not many on that list.
No, I mean, there's absolutely not many on that list. Like they're going to be a tough out. They're not going to beat themselves. They're not going to get out coached. You know, the quarterback has learned from his mistakes in the past. He, like, I don't think this is going to Sam Darnold's head. Like, I don't think Sam Darnold, to your point, is all of a sudden going to think he's Josh Allen and try to single-handedly take over games.
Right.
He still understands, even though these numbers look really good, I'm the point guard. I'm not the three-point shooter. You know what I mean? I'm the facilitator. I'm not here, you know, to try to drop bombs from 40 feet. You know, I'm not shooting from midcourt. So, yeah, I think they got him at a point in his development and his career arc where he's going to be the perfect sort of facilitator for Kevin O'Connell to move that football around to all different people in all different quadrants of the field. Yeah. I mean, I just start thinking to the future, like, it's obviously early, but, like, if this keeps up, I mean, do they trade Sam Darnold like in the offseason? Like, what do they want to keep him around? You know what I mean? Like, what does this mean for J.J. McCarthy? Like, they'll have some macro stuff to get to contractually. Like, I don't even know. I haven't even looked at Darnold's contract, but I probably should right now. It could beg some interesting, like, first world problems. Like, not bad problems, but some interesting decisions for them moving forward, because I don't think this is just a blip. Yeah, he's a UFA after this year. Like, do they try to, you know what I mean? Do they try to sweeten that pot? I don't know.
No, listen, he's playing well. The Vikings are certainly a story here the first quarter of the season.
You could always franchise him.
Well, true. True. And you know, with McCarthy and the rookie deal, it doesn't hurt you. I totally agree. I mean, if you feel like you're in that window to really do something. And by the way, last thing for me, you talked about, you know, Flores. Danielle Hunter leaves, and everybody thought they wouldn't get pass rush. And they're just as effective. And I just – that's something. You lose a 15, 17, 20-sack guy, and you're like, oh, they haven't lost a step.